But just started explaining to me everything.
Good to be here. It's a great blessing to be with your pastor and your pastor's wife, the Heffernans. We're so thankful for their friendship. There's a lot of stories I can tell about him, but I won't do so. It'll take too long. But I will tell you this. You are blessed with a godly pastor and a godly pastor's wife. I was thinking the other day, we've been friends for about 20 years. I'm so thankful for the years we've been friends, especially when the Lord worked in my heart and we got closer together in 2004, and that was about 17 years ago. And we were prayer partners, praying every week together for 5 years, and we still keep in contact. I'm so thankful I have a friend, a fellow pastor, that we can pray together and share burdens with. It was also a blessing to be here yesterday. I'm thankful for your attentiveness. I'm thankful for your hospitality to us as well and friendliness. It's been a blessing to be here. You live in a very beautiful area. We live in South Jersey, which is a rural part of New Jersey, and it's also very nice and beautiful and quiet, and we're thankful that the Lord called us there. As Pastor Heffernan mentioned, I was at a couple different churches for 10 years as assistant pastor, working with the music, youth, doing a lot of preaching as well, administrative areas of the ministry, and the last 2.5 years serving as senior pastor at First Baptist Church of Elmer, New Jersey, which is 40 minutes south of Philadelphia. So we're thankful for the Lord's calling there. Please take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I think by the scripture reading and the songs that were sung, you probably have guessed what the topic is this morning. It's interesting. Bethany and I have been married now for 10 years. This will be our 11th year. It seems like each year, God puts a specific theme and also a specific verse to go with that theme when he puts certain circumstances in our lives. The message I'm preaching this morning as well as tonight are messages from the heart. I'm going through book studies right now, just as your pastor does. So oftentimes, man, I typically just preach just one message or one text. And I was praying about what to preach. The Lord impressed upon my heart just to share what I am learning. Because as a pastor, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And this was a verse in 2020 that kept on coming to mind. That through the circumstances around us in the world, the circumstances in our country, circumstances in my personal life, in our church, this verse became real to me. It's a verse that we all probably have memorized, have heard, have read, but is it real to us? Are we applying this verse in daily living? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This morning, we will look at life's missing ingredient. Life's missing ingredient. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your patience with us when we are prone to complaining, when we are prone to being depressed and discouraged, resulting oftentimes into anxiety, rather than to giving you thanks in every circumstance in life. It is easier for us, because of frailty, to give thanks in the higher ground experiences, but it's in the valleys that we often struggle, that we often forget, and that missing ingredient tends to show up when we are down and out. Oh, Father, I pray for your help, your grace, your convicting power through thy spirit, through thy word, for us to be giving you thanks at all times in every circumstance of life. And we realize this morning, for without you, we can do nothing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was in 2015 when we had a youth activity. In our youth activity, we had an event where to this day, I think it was really unfair. We had the girls against the guys in a baking contest. And one of our youth workers headed up this activity. And the activity was to make cookies. And so she put that, the ingredients out there for us, but we could not follow any recipe. And there was quite a bit more girls and guys. There's probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 girls there. And there was maybe, including myself, 4 guys. And us guys looked at each other and we're like, we had no clue what to do. We did not know what went in cookies, including myself. And so we looked at the flour. We looked at the sugar. We know that belongs in there. And we got them all together and got a few other things. And then, you know what? We're like, what about water? So we got water. We added water in there. And I found a layer. You're not supposed to put water in there. And so we thought, okay, we're doing pretty well other than the water. You know, we knew our cookies are going to look like big pancakes. But other than that, you know, maybe we have a chance. So we put the cookies in the oven. And the girls put the cookies in the oven. You can smell the smell. It smelled really good. And it looked good. It was like, oh, our cookies aren't going to look that good unless you like pancakes. And so we put them in and took them out. And the youth worker whose job was to taste and to see who's going to win, I tasted it, and I could tell by her face that something wasn't right. And she was like, did you guys put salt in the cookies? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the one degree we forgot. We put the water in, but not the salt in. And the cookies were terrible because we missed an ingredient. We tried to put the salt in when she mentioned it, right before we put it in the oven, because she mentioned about the salt. But you know what? You have to put in the salt before. You have to mix it in. And it didn't taste good because we missed a very important ingredient known as salt. When our Christian lives, in life in general, don't we tend to miss the ingredient of thankfulness? In every circumstance of life, especially circumstances when we view as unfavorable, we have a tendency to be ungrateful. Our tendency is not to be grateful, but to be ungrateful in life. And simply this, you must give God thanks today. You must give God thanks continually in every circumstance in life. We see 4 truths in our text this morning. It's 1 verse, a simple verse, but yet we have 4 truths about thanksgiving. We see that God, first of all, gives us circumstances for thanksgiving. God gives us circumstances of thanksgiving. Secondly, we see that God gives a reason for thanksgiving. God gives the reason for thanksgiving. And thirdly, God gives the hope for thanksgiving. And fourthly, God gives the audience for thanksgiving. He gives the audience for thanksgiving. Look at the beginning of our text. Now, in the context here, you see, starting with verse 16, we have commands. Verse 16 tells us to rejoice evermore. That's a time that means we are continually supposed to rejoice. Verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. As it, again, involves a time of when to pray continually. Verse 18, we have another command. And then verse 19, another command to quench out the spirit. Verse 20, another command. So we are in a section of commands. We can say this, these commands are practical commands to apply in the state of sanctification, or simply Christian growth. These are all essential commands. So the first two involve with time. This one involves with circumstances. We see in this phrase in our text, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. We see that God gives us circumstances for thanksgiving. We see the circumstances are good. The circumstances are good. Are you thankful for the good circumstances that God puts in your life? We ought to be. Are you thankful for your salvation? That's the number one thing we should thank God every day. When was the last time you thanked God for your salvation? For the circumstance that God convicted you of sin and the individual or individuals involved and sharing the gospel with you? Are you thankful for the spouse sitting next to you right now? Do you take them for granted? Husbands, do you just expect your wife to make you a 4-course meal every day and not give them thanks to do so? And you say, well, it's just her job. No, we need to give each other thanks and wives. Are you thanking your husband for working on a long day? And when he comes home, he's tired, and you expect to unload to him everything that happened that day, and he just needs a little nap. He just needs a little space. Have you thanked him for working and providing, for loving you? Have you thanked God? When was the last time you thanked him for his love, for his goodness? When was the last time you thanked your pastor for being the pastor he is, for his love for you, his time, and his wife as well? You know, there's a pastor's appreciation day, that's October, and a pastor's wife appreciation day, which is April. But we should appreciate, you should appreciate them all the time. And he paid me $5 to say that. No, he didn't. We're pretty good, I think, for the most part, when certain situations are good. But as I mentioned, there's many times where we simply forget. Even a simple thank you note, sometimes, you know, that is becoming archaic. That the good old-fashioned pen with your good old-fashioned note card, and just write thank you for, whether it's a gift of cookies or someone helped you this week, giving them thanks. Or obviously when we have that new job or a raise of salary or someone gets saved and we're like, praise the Lord for that, right? But we have good circumstances. So circumstances, I believe, can be divided in two categories. When we are told in everything is speaking about circumstances. I think we all agree that we have good circumstances, right? But we also have what we call bad circumstances. Bad circumstances. So the circumstances are good. Those are when we feel good. That's when someone has done something good for us. That's when we think that God has done something good to us, has made something favorable for us. But we have situations. Bible uses the word trials. Bible uses the phrase, the valley of the shadow of death. We call them bad circumstances. Why do we use that word, that phrase? Because that circumstance is unfavorable to us. It is inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. I mean, how many of you like to have a flat tire on your way to church? Raise your hand. None of you. How many of you would like to have a cold? You know, we often say this, oh, the cold always comes at a bad time. Well, when is a good time for a cold? When is a good time for a tornado or a hailstorm? But God has put circumstances in our lives, whether it's good or bad, and in every circumstance, in this first phrase, in every circumstance, whether it's good or bad, what's the command here? Give thanks. You know what that phrase give thanks means? To continually give thanks. To continually give God praise. To continually give God blessings and worship. I mean, you think of Job. God said this about Job, that he was a man blameless, perfect. And God allowed Satan to afflict Job, right? That it was in God's sovereignty that he allowed Job to lose all of his 10 kids, all of his cattle, all of his belongings. And what was Job's initial response? Woe is me! Lord, I'm not going to serve you anymore. Why did you take everything away? He said this. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He thanked the Lord for that. I said, wow, how could we do that? We're going to see that in a moment. But we see, number one, God gives us circumstances for Thanksgiving. Let me ask you this. In your circumstance right now, whether you consider it good, whether you consider it bad, are you giving God thanks? Do you know what's God's purpose in the circumstances? Romans 8:29 tells us the purpose. We like 8:28, which basically tells us that God works everything for our good and his glory, right? But do you know what that word good means and how it's defined? The very next verse tells us, what is good is our conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. And God uses trials as his tool to conform us. We want comfort. We don't want trials because we want to be comfortable. We don't like pain. But God uses pain. He uses not a gentle manicure to change us. but are crude tools as a hammer and chisel known as trials, so we can be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I remember when Beth and I were first dating, it was probably our second month dating in November of 2009. We were coming back from a revival meeting. That's a great place to go on a date. That's actually, our first date was at a revival meeting. Well, we were coming back from a revival meeting of a church about an hour away from her house, and I was taking her back. And as we were driving out in the middle of nowhere, this was in northeastern Pennsylvania, Wayne County, deer hunting area. There's deer everywhere during this time. And out of nowhere, a deer came right in front of us and hit our car right on my side. And so my first reaction, I know this shows my carnality, okay? You know what my first reaction was? My poor car, you know, my parents just got for me, brand new, shiny new, no scratch on it, a few months ago. And my first reaction is my poor car. You know what Bethany's reaction was? Praise the Lord that we're saved. You know, I needed her because she's my better half, right? She had the right response. Praise the Lord. Because oftentimes we look at the negatives and complain like, me, oh, my car. I'm just serving the Lord. Just came back from playing the piano at a revival meeting. And the Lord put a deer right there to remodel my precious car. But Bethany saw this. Praise the Lord that we're saved. Because we can always give thanks, even in a situation such as that we deem inconvenient and painful. Number two, God gives a reason for thanksgiving. He not only gives us the circumstances, bad and good circumstances, right? All circumstances in life. But he gives us a reason. Going on, here's the reason. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We'll stop right there. I want us to focus on this phrase. For this is the will of God. There's many books written about the will of God. A lot of you young people here are looking for God's will, right? And when we use the term God's will, we often think of, Lord, what is your will for me for college? Or what is your will in marriage and my first job? And we try to think of the big decisions in life. Well, we need to look at God's will in every area in life. But are you thankful? Are there times when you're searching for God's will and you tell the Lord, it'd be nice to be put a bright neon sign that this is your will for my life. Well, he has it right here. That this is God's will. What's his will? We see here, his will is for us to give thanksgiving. Now, the reason for this is God's will. The reason is God's will. The word will here has a couple different definitions and inclinations. One is this. The reason is God's will, and God's will refers to his purpose and plan. God's purpose and plan for us is this. What is it? To glorify God, right? And let me ask you this. We'll go back to that illustration. Whose response glorified God's in that act that I told you about with the deer? Did Bethany's response glorify God, or did my response glorify God? Her response, why? Because a heart of gratitude. When we give God thanks, we are glorifying God. The world will notice when you give God thanks in a difficult circumstance, because that is Christ living in and through us. And God gets the glory. God's plan for us is to glorify him. And he uses our thanksgiving, especially during difficult times, to praise his name. This is God's plan for your life. But also, we see this reason for thanksgiving is God's desire. The word will not only refers to the plan he has for our life to bring him glory in every circumstance by giving God thanks, even in difficult times, but it's also his desire. His desire refers to this is what pleases God. Does God desire a complaining heart? Let me ask you this. This is a rhetorical question. Would you rather be with a chronic complainer or a chronic person giving thanksgiving? A chronic complainer, maybe you're one of them right now, don't raise your hand, right? Or maybe you're sitting by someone right now, don't raise your hand either, okay? But we would all say this, we want to be with someone that gives thanks, because I don't know about you, but when I'm around a godly person that's giving God thanks in difficult times, I am edified. But when I'm someone with someone who's complaining all the time, or when I'm the one complaining, I'm not edified. I feel down, right? Don't you feel down? When you're around someone that all they do is complain about the weather. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. And nothing makes them content and satisfied. Then it makes you kind of depressed too, right? But God is pleased when we give him thanks. And it pleases us, doesn't it, when we hear thanksgiving rather than complaining? I mean, parents, do you really want your kids to complain about the food all the time? Oh, I don't like macaroni. Oh, I don't like this pizza. Oh, all I want is ice cream, right? All you do is complain and complain. You're like, you're so ungrateful. I put all this time into it, and you even give me thanks. But isn't that what we do all the time with our Lord Jesus? Is we complain rather than give him thanks? He's pleased with our thanksgiving. Growing up at Market Manor Baptist Church, I had the opportunity to go to Pacific Garden Mission. That ministry is a ministry of Unshackled. If you listen to Unshackled, it's a ministry for homeless men to give them the gospel. And at Market Manor, not only did we have a bus that took us there to have a service, but we also had every Sunday morning, a group of 40, 50 guys that had their own service. And I enjoy those services. There were times I was able to play the piano for them as a boy. And also, I went along to their facilities in Chicago. And one of my favorite things about those services was this. For about 20 minutes, they took time to give testimony. Guys would stand up and give testimony how God saved them from sin. And they kept on. It kept on going on and on and on. And finally, the pastor had to go up and stop the testimony time. Why? Because we had to get onto the other songs and the message. But the guys couldn't stop giving God thanks. And these were guys that had no home. These were guys that had no family. But they had the Lord Jesus Christ because they gave their heart to him. And they knew what it's like to be saved out of darkness and into light. How come we are not like that? I know we have different personalities. I understand that. But I look back at that as like, how come I'm not as thankful for my salvation? For what God has done for me, when my circumstances and human perspective is, quote unquote, better than the homeless man without a home. But yet they can give God thanks. And that pleases God. So God gives us circumstances for thanksgiving. God, secondly, gives a reason for thanksgiving. Thirdly, God gives the help for thanksgiving. God gives the help. Are you thankful that when God gives us a command, he gives us his help, otherwise known as his grace, to obey that command? Because apart from God's working in and through you and me, we cannot obey this command. All of us recognize our propensity to complain, right? We need God's help. Going on in your verse. For this is the will of God. If God just said this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I mean, he could have just done that, right? But he did not. He has these next three words. In Christ Jesus. That's not just to fill in the verse. This is so important because we see here that God is giving us the help that we need. And this help is found in Christ. The help to give thanksgiving is found in Christ. That's why God tells us that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So this denotes the help that's found in Christ. As I alluded to, the help is called God's grace. God's grace, simple definition of God's grace is this: God's divine help for us to do what is right. I think of the verse in John 15:5, when Christ told his disciples, without me, you can do what? You can do something? You can do nothing. And we have to get to that point to realize, Lord, I have nothing without you. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 begged of God three times to remove his thorn in the flesh. Do you have a thorn in the flesh right now? Maybe it's the person next to you. I hope not. Maybe it's a physical ailment. And don't we tend to complain about that weakness? We all have weaknesses. We all have a thorn in the flesh. But you know what God's response was to Paul? God did not respond to Paul and say, I'm going to take your thorn in the flesh away. I'm going to heal you, whether it's a speech issue, whether there's an eye issue. We do not know what that thorn of flesh was. But God responded by saying this, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Have you begged God to take that thorn of flesh away? Have you begged God to heal you of that issue or take that trial away that you are under the weight of and feel so burdened and so, "Lord, take it away from me"? Paul did that. And God's response was, "My grace is sufficient. My help is sufficient." That's all you need. What was Paul's response? How would you respond to that? Paul could have responded this way. "Lord, I asked you for healing. I didn't ask you for your grace. I want healing from this. I want this to be removed from me." He said this. He said that, I gladly will go through this infirmity. Because in fact, he says, "I glory in my infirmities." I glory in a why? That through his weakness, he will find the strength in God's grace. That was his response. He was like, "I'm going to praise you. I'm going to boast in my weakness." I mean, how many of us can say that? I know you might say, "Well, Pastor Hansen, we're not the Apostle Paul. He was a super Christian." The Apostle Paul wasn't a super Christian. His life is an example of a normal Christian life. The help is found in Christ. And the help, notice this phrase, "in Christ." The help is not only found in Christ, but that help is based on our position in Christ. It's based on our position, who we are in Christ. So being in Christ Jesus, so in the construction here is in the sphere of Christ Jesus, of the hope that he gives to us, but in also who we are. And who are we in Christ? We're joint heirs of Jesus Christ, right? We are saints. We are a child of God. Are you thankful for that? Think about who we are in Christ, that even though God might take everything away as he did in Job's life. Remember Hebrews 13:15 tells, or verse 5 says this, that "I would never leave thee nor forsake thee." As we heard in our Sunday school hour, it actually was in my notes as well, that God wants to teach us contentment. We need to find satisfaction with him. The root reason why we are not grateful all the time is because we're not satisfied and content with God at all times. Contentment really is this, is being satisfied with Jesus Christ regardless of your circumstances. It's being satisfied with Jesus Christ. What we tend to do is find happiness in our circumstances. Our circumstances is not always going to make us happy, right? But we still can have joy and peace because the Bible tells us that. "Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." And we can have joy to count it all joy, but that's all as a result of God's grace. You and I cannot have peace and joy apart from Christ working in and through me. I think of a dear lady, her name was Nancy Kramer. She went to our last ministry and she was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. Both Bethany and I would visit her often, a couple times a month, maybe three times a month or so. And I remember having good talks with her. There was a time she could not come to church for the last year of her life. And she said, she told me this. She said, "Pastor, I go through so much pain, but it's my desire to glorify God for my cancer." And I remember one day she told me this. She said, "I can honestly thank the Lord now for my cancer." She died not that long after that, but she came to the point of giving God thanks. Let me tell you, that's God's supernatural working. And that's his grace. That's God's grace. And when an unbeliever sees that, they see Jesus Christ in you. And you know who's glorified? God is. Is that your desire? God is not glorified when we complain about our circumstances. She could have said, "I'm complaining about my cancer. I don't feel well. Why did God allow this in my life?" But no, she said, "I want to glorify God. I'm going to thank him for the cancer he's given to me." Have you come to the point where you've thanked God for that thorn in your flesh, that trial you're going through right now, that discomfort, whatever you're complaining about all the time, give that to the Lord and realize this, if you're saved, you have a home in heaven. You have a relationship with God, that Jesus Christ is all you need. Job found that out. God took literally everything away from him, but he still had God. For my flesh, I shall see God, Job said. Is that your desire? If you're not saved, you need to know Christ as your Savior, because you have no hope. You do not understand Thanksgiving until you accept Christ as your Savior. And that means you're turning away from your sin and turning to Jesus Christ, recognizing that you are a sinner, that it takes one sin to be a sinner. We're born in sin apart from God. And there needs to be a time in our life where we repent and turn to Christ in faith by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's where Thanksgiving starts. And it continues on as I walk with God and as I see his glory. And as you see his glory, how can we complain even in a difficult time, knowing what Christ has done for us on the cross? Christ has suffered far more than you and I can ever suffer here in his life. And yet Christ gladly died for you and for me. So we see that God gives us circumstances for Thanksgiving. He gives a reason for Thanksgiving. He gives a help for Thanksgiving. And lastly, God gives the audience for Thanksgiving. He gives the audience. Again, at the last phrase of this verse. In everything give thanks. We saw that's the circumstances. For this is the will of God. God gives a reason, his will. We see God gives a help in Christ Jesus. And lastly, he gives the audience concerning your wife. Yeah, guys, get rid of your wife now. Concerning your husband. You know what? Concerning you refers to, first of all, concerning all believers. The Apostle Paul was writing under inspiration, of course, the church of Thessalonica, but for all of us as believers, this is a command for all believers. Not just for a select few, but all of us need to give thanks in every circumstance in life, understanding it's God's will for you and me, understanding God gives us the help. He never gives us a command that we cannot obey apart from his grace. And this concerns all believers, and very pointedly, not only all believers, but the audience is you. The audience is you. All believers includes you. Whenever we read a verse, and we're hearing a sermon such as this one, it's really easy to think this. I've thought this. Yeah, I know I'm not the only sinner here, right? Oh, this is a really good message for so-and-so, right? You might be thinking right now, this is a really good message for this chronic complainer that complains to me all the time, right? This is a good message for you. Gratitude starts with us. And as we're grateful, God will be glorified. And Lord willing, that will be contagious. May this be a church of gratefulness, to be grateful to the Lord for all he's done, be grateful for your church leadership. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a church that's not complaining all the time about little things, but that's always giving God thanks, and giving thanks, having a spirit of thanksgiving that's rooted in contentment and satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Are you serious about saying, Lord, give me that spirit of thankfulness? Help me to be rooted and grounded in you, to be satisfied with you. Because we can't be thankful for God if we do not know him. That's where that starts. In salvation, but in sanctification. Do you really want to know your God? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. Do you love him with all your heart? If you do, then you will find satisfaction with him. And the satisfaction will then result, whatever circumstance you're in, you're going to give God thanks because you're content, whether you're a base, whether you're abound, right? And I know there's times we fail. I fail as well. Sometimes I think I'm doing well. When you think you're doing well, there goes the pride. You just failed, right? And God puts a circumstance to realize, Lord, I'm not there yet. Just when you think you're there, just when you think, oh, I've achieved thankfulness, then God puts a situation in your life to realize, oh, I just complain about it. I failed. But we need God's grace, because we see in this text that you must give thanks. God gives the circumstances for Thanksgiving, the reason, the help, and the audience, that this command is specifically for you. And when we obey this command, we are obeying God's will, and he gives us the grace to obey his command. And it's a result of loving God, being satisfied with him, and of God's working in and through us. On July 4th, 2020, I was doing a couple of errands that morning. It was going to be our 10th wedding anniversary. We had plans to travel to Virginia. We had hotel arrangements that we made. We wanted to have a nice time away. My goal was to give Bethany, even with the midst of course, COVID was really bad in New Jersey during that time. So we really wanted to get away, just have a really good time together. I wanted to give her a really nice 10th wedding anniversary. So it was a Saturday morning. I began the day teaching a piano lesson, and I then told Bethany that I was going to make some errands. I told her I loved her. I kissed her as I always do. Told her I love her, and I went to I just needed to mow the lawn, needed to pick up some gas and do a couple other things. And so I was in the car just a few minutes away from our house, and all of a sudden I saw a car in front of me that went into my lane. He went over the line, and then he went right back. So I didn't really think, kind of frightened me a little bit. This was about, the road was about 50 miles an hour. It's a highway. And so I thought everything was good. And all of a sudden, for no reason at all, he went right into my car. And I saw him going to my car. In the split second, the last second, I swerved to the right, which caused my car then to flip over and to roll over several times. It rolled over, according to the police record, it was probably around 300 or so feet away. So I kept on rolling and rolling. And as I was rolling and rolling, I thought I was a goner. There was power lines everywhere. I had gas in my gas can. There was cars all around me. And I was thinking, Lord, this is going to be it. But I'm going to miss Bethany a lot, but I know I'm ready to see you. And as I finally landed upside down in the car. And as Pastor Hefner mentioned, I had to be extracted from the car by a couple of men through a window, the pastor window. And I had no idea. I'm very thankful, as I was not in the ambulance, the witnesses that were there, the paramedics told me that there's no way that I could have survived that. The doctors told me that my swerve at the last minute saved my life. God saved my life. Because they said, believe it or not, being rolled over, the impact was more gentle than just head on, which would have killed me, they said. So that should have made me feel better, right? But it didn't take away that terrible pain I experienced every day, the terrible migraines. I woke up every morning like I had a hangover. I don't know how it feels like, but I felt terrible, just terrible. I couldn't fulfill my responsibilities for 3 months. I loved preaching. I couldn't preach for that time. I couldn't play the piano. I couldn't do anything. I felt like a vegetable. I was in bed just about every day. I had to go to physical therapy, which I thought was just for older people, and I had to go through that, and I couldn't drive. I really couldn't do it. I felt worthless, and I remember telling Bethany, I said, I feel worthless. She would remind me truth, very kind with me, and you know what? After a while, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for my complaining spirit. You know, there's times I complained to Bethany, I complained to other people. I should be thankful I'm alive. I should be thankful I'm saved. I should be thankful that I have recovered. And even during that time, I did not know if I was going to, the doctor told me, we do not know, can't guarantee a full recovery. But I needed to remind myself that regardless if I recovered or not, that God is always good. And in every circumstance, such as that bad circumstance, and other bad circumstances that I've been in, God's always been faithful. And I'm thankful there's a point where in that trial that I had to surrender to the Lord. So, Lord, thank you for this car accident. Thank you for what you taught us. And there's blessings. We got a nicer car. We were able to sell our house, be closer to church, and eventually get another house closer to church. That's a blessing as well. It's nice just to walk to church now. There's so many blessings I can tell you from the accident. But let me tell you, it was not pleasant for a while. Trials are not pleasant for a while. Circumstances are not always going to go your way. But may you and I respond in a manner that glorifies God by giving him thanks, relying upon his grace so we can obey his will. And may these words never cease to leave our lips. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know how you normally do invitations here, but I want us right now just to pray. And I'll give it over to Pastor Huffman. But first of all, do you know Christ is your Savior? That's the most important thing. You can't give God thanks unless you are saved from sin. Right now, in your seats, I'm going to ask you, do you know Christ is your Savior? If you're not 100% sure, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. And we'll have a man help with a man, lady with lady. But if you're not sure, raise your hand. Anybody like that? Believers, right now in the stillness, let's just pray and ask God to help us to have a spirit of thanksgiving at all times. And I'll have Pastor Huffman come and close this invitation time. We'll pray for him a moment and he'll come.
Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, you have provided all that we need to be thankful for. And Lord, you've given us grace even in the midst of difficult days and things that go against us, Lord, to be able to look at you with not tricking ourselves, but in the sincerity of our hearts, to know that you are good, that your plans for us are wise and loving. And Lord, that we can express thankfulness to you. And Lord, thank you for the conviction of your spirit in our own life. Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, keep us on this place of surrender to you and keeping our focus on you so that we'll be grateful in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Brother Kenny to come. We're going to stand together and close with a closing hymn of thanksgiving to God.